Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Memphis shit. Let's go hook him up!
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is awesome.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
Apparently better than Contreras, who's calling in sick, saying he has bronchitis, but I don't see what the problem is because he probably sounds more normal than he ever has in his life.
Possible? I don't know.
People might be able to understand him this week if you would have called him.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. So what's going on, Craig? What's happening?
Oh, just busy as ever.
Just busy as ever.
Working and living.
Yeah, same here. But anyway, tonight we have we're joined by an old friend of Craig from Craig's old wrestling days. I'm sure Craig is excited about this, and yeah, we'll be having Matt Farmer on in just a few minutes. And Couture also left you hanging because you know it's going to take me a couple minutes to call Matt and get him on the line. You're going to have to hold court.
I am going to have to hold court, and. Don't think I haven't thought about it.
I also have a new phone that I've never actually made a three-way call on, so it might take even longer than normal.
Oh, you better not. Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out.
All right. So since you're ready to go, rearing to go to handle the situation, I'm going to try and call Matt. So hopefully it won't take me more than 10 minutes or so.
Yeah. Yeah, make sure you get on that. Okay, folks. Well, here I am. I'm by myself. Ed is calling Mr. Farmer right now. Mr. Farmer is on to promote a upcoming show in the Washington area. It's actually in Spokane, Washington. And he's actually promoting a lucha show. And we don't get a lot of wrestling over here. And I'm kind of excited for the show. It is a couple hours away from here. I don't know if I'll be able to attend, seeing as how it's in the middle of the week, but it is next week. And as soon as Ed gets back on, we can talk about it with him. He's got the main event of Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy, believe it or not. He's also bringing in some names. He's got Psychosis and Juventud, MVP, Phoenix, Sammy Callahan, Jeff Cobb, perhaps you've heard of him. A couple of local guys that are very good. Mike Santiago and Ethan HD. These are guys that you will be hearing about for sure. You got El Santo and El Santo Jr. Excuse me, El Hijo del Santo and El Santo Jr. And very special guest, Conan, going to be on that show as well. It is at the Yakima Valley Sundome, Wednesday, October 12th, and that is next week. And looks like it's going to be a fun show. And I think Ed is ribbing me because he has not gotten back on the line yet. What to say? Apparently, Brutal Bob Evans is here in the area this weekend. Tried to get together with him just to say hello and actually meet him face to face, but doesn't look like that's going to happen. He's very busy, as am I. So, well, let's just hope one of these days I'll actually get to meet Mr. Brutal face to face. But I think he got together with Alvarez today. Him and Congo were here wrestling for Squamish Championship Wrestling over in Bremerton. He's also working for a promotion in Seattle called 321 Battle. If you haven't heard of them, they are different. I'll leave it at that. Excuse me. And also...
What do you mean, excuse me? What are you doing? How are you embarrassing us?
I'm not embarrassing nobody, man. I'm just giving the updates, brother.
Well, why don't you introduce our guest for us?
We have a guest on tonight. This is an old friend of mine, and he's been on the show a few times. I didn't write anything down, Matt. I apologize. But he is on loan from MLW Radio and his Indie-rific podcast, and a man that owes me $8. Mr. Matt Farmer.
Craig, how you guys doing? Ed, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I owe Craig $8 for a mound of meat he bought me.
Right.
A mound?
Wait a minute, no.
A mound of meat?
Yes, hot Brazilian meat he bought me. So, yeah, I owe him $8 for a sword of meat.
Yeah.
Well, Craig's worse than Brian, so I know he's going to be trying to collect from you until you pay him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You might want to write over that.
Yeah. Well, originally it was $7, but he's already added on a dollar interest.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like Craig.
That was Kremen's idea, actually.
Yeah. Was it? I should have borrowed the $8 from Kremen.
Yeah. Well, then you would have been charged the Jewish interest, which is a lot higher.
Yeah, a lot higher. If
lot
I would have been able to swing him Missy Hyatt's number, I probably could have got it for free.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Well, Matt,
so how are you guys doing over there?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying how you guys are doing. You guys aren't doing a very good job conducting this interview, so I was going to lead the raids there.
Well, I didn't have.
Well, it's been a while since we've done an
interview.
And I'm trying to let Craig struggle as much as possible tonight. So.
Oh, okay.
He left me hanging.
Craig.
He left me hanging on
Craig,
the air by him myself.
Craig, I also need to do me a favor, Craig.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, I'm extremely upset with Matt Farmer about his Wrestling Hall of Fame pick, so I refuse to speak with him, so I'm going to have to let you conduct the entire interview.
Wow.
Great. Tell me what you're upset with me about. What picks upset you the most?
There's only one, and you only had to make one vote, and I would have been happy, but you left out the greatest wrestler in the history of mankind, Kerry Von Erich.
Oh, geez. Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, I won't ever vote for Kerry Von Erich. First of all, tell me why you believe Kerry Von Erich should be a Hall of Famer.
I just said he's the greatest wrestler.
And then I will, I'll blow it out of the water.
He carried Ric Flair to a few of Ric Flair's only good matches. You know,
okay.
He holds the record for the highest attendance in Texas and the U.S. for quite a while.
No, that's not true.
He could wrestle high as fuck, better than anyone in the world.
He did what?
that he can wrestle high as fuck, being as strong as possible, and still have 5-star matches and better than anyone else could in this drug-induced business we have. And just, like I say, overall greatest wrestler who ever lived. Better than Flair, better than Hogan, Austin, Rock, all those jabronis.
I am a big fan of Kerry Von Erichs. I will admit that. I do like him a lot. I think if he would have had a better career post 1985, he would have been a better candidate. But really, I mean, you think about it, post 1985, he really didn't do much. If anything, he was a big disappointment. You know?
Well, he did defeat Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig for the Intercontinental title in WWE.
He did hold that. He did hold that, and he held it for just a few months and was a complete and utter failure in that position. So would that be a credit to his career, or would that be a hindrance to his career?
Well, he also did it with one foot, so I think people don't give him the credit he deserves for still being able to stay in that position as long as
he did. I will give him that. He did. He accomplished a lot with one foot and half a brain, so he did accomplish a lot. I thought you were going to harp on me about not voting for Sting.
No, I think Harry's a better candidate than Sting. I'm sorry. I think Harry did more in 3 years than Sting did his whole career, if you really look at it and break it down.
I wouldn't necessarily argue that. What about Lex Luger?
Same thing. I think Sting would be – I'd have Sting above Lex Luger.
No, I meant would you put Lex above Kerry Von Erich?
No, not at all.
Huh, it's interesting.
Hmm.
So besides his May 1984 match with Ric Flair at Texas Stadium, where they drew a very impressive crowd and a few sellouts in a, you know, and pop in the territory, that's all you got?
Well, like I said, he's the greatest wrestler I've ever lived. What more do I need to say?
That's true. I guess it is subjective.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Who did you vote for? Oh, geez. Who did you, besides Kerry Von Erich, who was on your ballot, Ed?
I have to look at it. But for sure, Bill After. I've been a big proponent of Bill After being in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. He would be the one, seriously, after Kerry, that I think is the most deserving, in my opinion, just because I think he did a lot more for the business than people give him credit for. I mean, I know he wasn't the whole magazine, but he was the face kind of the magazine. And whenever they brought somebody new into either Southwest, World Class, or whatever, I knew exactly who that person was. I knew whether they were if I should make a big deal about him or not because of the magazine. I think he did that for a lot of people, and I think a lot of wrestlers enjoyed a lot of fame because of Bill After. So I'm a strong proponent of Bill After in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
I could see that. I could see that, definitely. Personally, I think there are others that are in the non-wrestler category that would deserve to get in ahead of him. But this year, actually, as you saw on my ballot, I voted heavily towards Mexico this year. So I always felt that Mexico has been under recognized in the Hall of Fame. So, there you go, Craig. Thanks.
Yeah, somehow Japan gets more attention than Mexico when there's, like you said, there's a lot of great lucha legends out there that deserve consideration, and maybe because they don't have the play between like tape traders like Japan does.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of
I think that has a lot to do with
that.
It. Yeah, that definitely has a lot to do with it. Another thing, Japan has been great about chronicling their history as well through videotapes. You know, you could go on YouTube and see nearly every well-known Japanese wrestler from the beginning of Japanese wrestling. Where in Mexico, it's harder to do.
Yeah, it's easier to watch a movie with El Santo than actually watch matches with El Santo.
Exactly. Craig, who did you vote for this year?
I don't have a ballot, there.
You don't?
No. I've never asked for one.
I didn't know this.
Cared. No, it's
man,
I'm not even stressed
and just
about
think,
it.
Just think, Ed. his vote for Kerry Von Erich could have been the swing vote he's going to need this year.
Oh, he wouldn't have voted for him out of spite. That Craig's kind of a jerk, so I'm sure you know that.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
But we can get back to the Hall of Fame and maybe a little later. But we mainly had you on to talk about your big project you have going on that you're helping with. And I wasn't able to put the name of the show on the title because looking at the poster, I'm not quite sure what the exact name of the show is. Is there an actual name to the show or promotion? Or tell us about what's going on with this big lucha show.
The actual name of the promotion is Lucha Limitado, which for you gringos out there means Lucha Limited, Craig. Pretty much what it is it's a Lucha Libre event that we are hosting at the Sundome in Yakima, October 12th, which is this coming Wednesday. The main event will be Rey Mysterio versus Jeff Hardy. We also got a great feature match. Speaking of El Santo, we got the son of El Santo, Hazel Del Santo, teaming up with his very own son, Santo Jr., against the Juice. And yes, he says he calls himself the Juice, Juventud Carrera and Psicosis. We also got an awesome one-on-one match between MVP and Sammy Callahan, which I'm really excited about. Another great match we've got on there is for the Corazon de Oro Championship, which is going to be a four-way between Phoenix, Jeff Cobb, CZW Heavyweight Champion Jonathan Gresham, and Sanjay Dutt. We also have a great women's match featured on the show, which is Sue Young versus Jessica Havoc. And we've got a great intergender luchador trios match to open the show.
Now, regarding the Santo match,
mm-hmm.
weren't those guys like involved in like a long court case involving the name? I mean, I'm actually surprised you got them together. I mean, has it ever been smooth over in the Santo family, or can you talk about that situation?
Yeah. So what you're getting confused is, Santo Jr., the one that is actually wrestling as Santo Jr. currently, that is Hijo del Santo's legitimate son. The other Santo Jr. that has been wrestling under the name of Axel for years is actually the son of, I believe, Hijo del Santo's sister.
Oh, okay.
He is a grandson of El Santo. But he was also not a very accomplished wrestler, and so there was always that fight with Hijo del Santo, who owns the actual name of Santo and the license. He always wanted to save that name for one of his sons, and that's what he did. His son, Santo Jr., who will be teaming with him October 12th, actually just finished completing about a year at the Noah Dojo in Japan, so he's been studying wrestling for some time.
Cool. I'm glad you clarified that because, I was a little confused when I saw that because I remember, hearing Dr. Leach talk about that. I just assumed it was the same one. But that's actually, yeah. I mean, that's actually a pretty impressive team. Unfortunately, Santo kind of, I don't know if he just kind of separated from AAA and EMLL like the last so many years, and I don't think he's gotten his name out there as much or recognized as much as he should. I mean, he was a big part of that Lucha Boom, teaming with Octagon against Eddie
Let's see, here's the thing, though. Santo has been, and what a lot of the big-name luchadors are classified themselves as independent. They do this because they book themselves out. They're not booked by the office. There is considerable heat between Hijo del Santo and the AAA and CMLL offices. So booking talent from those offices is nearly impossible, and believe me, we tried. But that's one setback. But the thing is Santo, Hijo del Santo, he retired from wrestling about 2 years ago because he had a pretty bad neck injury. He's coming back out of retirement to do probably a few years of matches teaming with his son, just to kind of introduce his son to the world. But even with that said, without being with one of the major offices, Santo is, he's a name that everybody knows. You know, I mean, here's a guy that had in the last 3 years a postage stamp with his likeness on it. He's in commercials, cartoons, comic books, everything, still to this day in Mexico. So he's one of those names that he's actually a crossover celebrity, so everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, I mean, the original Santo, I mean, probably one of the most famous people in the history of Mexico. I mean, as much as people make a big deal about Baba and Anoki, I mean, he was actually bigger culturally than they were. So, yeah, he's a big name. And like I say, I watched that era. I mean, he was one of the best and for a long time.
I've actually had the pleasure of working on shows with Hijo dos Santo before. And the guy's awesome. I mean, he doesn't get enough credit for being a big-name wrestler, a superstar who would go out there and work his butt off in front of, you know, a few thousand people in an independent show in a small town. He always works hard. Like, if you've ever seen, like, an independent match with him and Negro Casas, those guys always tear it up, you know? So, I mean, you know, he doesn't quite get the respect probably from the work rate fans as he should, but he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, regarding the main event, there was actually a change. I believe the original advertised main event was Rey versus Alberto Patron,
Correct.
Alberto Del Rio. And unfortunately, that fell through. Does it look like the Patron will be back at another date, or what's the situation with that? Did we expect to see him on future shows, or?
I would like to see him on future shows. There might be some things that would hold that back. I there's some things I can't talk about right now just because of personal issues and legal issues and things like that. But I'll say this, you know, Patron, he was Alberto, he was easy to work with. There were some other forces there that caused the cancellation, including his relationship with Combates Americas. We did everything by the books. We put him on paper. We gave him his deposit. We actually had him signed up to a deal, and we'd actually made a deal with him before he even announced he was leaving WWE. And so this was something that we'd worked on for some time, but unfortunately, and it was actually out of Alberto's hands himself. So some things came up, and we do hope to have him on a future show. But, you know, Jeff Hardy, man, as soon as we announced Jeff Hardy, any negative thoughts that were out there from fans that purchased tickets was out the window because, dude, Jeff Hardy still, he's a loved mother, you know, he's a loved dude out there in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, he's part of, like, the hottest act in wrestling, or, like, you know, the most kind of, like...
Well, a little second to the Von Erich boys.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll never be suppressed, so, you know, I'm trying to give him a little more credit.
Yeah.
But that is a big match. That's kind of like a lot of people still consider that like a dream match because even though Jeff maybe doesn't do as much flying, he still does a lot of it, and he's still crazy. And like him and Mysterio are two big innovators, so I mean I'm sure that match is going to tear it up.
I know that it was a match that both guys wanted, which is always great. When guys want that match, they usually go in there with a little more hype and a little more excitement. One thing that was interesting to me about it is a lot of our promotions for this event are geared towards the Hispanic community because Yakima, Washington, is one of the largest, by percentage, one of the largest Hispanic populated counties in the entire country. And with in the Latino market, Jeff Hardy is a huge star because WWE TV, when he was on top, was doing just tremendous ratings in Mexico and on Hispanic stations in the U.S. So he's a guy that everybody's really excited about.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
So what does it take putting something like this together? I mean, how do you get a building first? Do you contact talent first? I mean, it seems like a huge undertaking to put a show together like this.
It is a huge undertaking. Originally, we had contacted a couple buildings. This venture was actually going to take place on the East Coast originally. And in fact, it was going to be taking place in Greenville, South Carolina, which, you know, with Hurricane Matthew, we're really glad, you know, very, very lucky, actually. You know, and something happened with the building. The one of the coaches for the basketball team at the building, he didn't want a wrestling ring or chairs on his precious basketball court that day. So we had to change buildings really quick, and I suggested the Yakima Sun Dome because I know that city and I know the town, and I know one of the directors of the building, so I contacted him, and they made a great deal with us. And so,
is it an actual dome, or is that just the name of the place?
No, it's an actual dome.
It's a full-size dome. It holds about, for wrestling, it holds about 6,000 or 7,000 people. There's been WWE and WCW tapings there before.
In fact, I saw Matt in a match in a WWE ring.
At the Yakima Sun Dome, that's right.
Yeah.
I did a dark match for the WWF Superstars way back at 20 years ago, Craig, at the Sun Dome. So, yeah. And
smoking
here's
guns,
what's funny,
got
Ed, I was going to the ring to wrestle the Smoking Guns that night, and I saw I saw Craig in the front row wearing his Shawn Michaels HBK hat, sunglasses, and chaps.
That's your Mark Craig.
He's mostly lying. Not totally, but mostly.
He didn't have the sunglasses on.
Did him and Brian have matching Shawn Michaels hats?
No, but they did have the chaps and like the leather jackets and stuff. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I think Brian only had the cowboy hat. Because see, Brian liked to dress like Shawn Michaels when Shawn Michaels was out of the ring. Craig liked to dress like Shawn Michaels when he was inside the ring. So it was kind of like in-ring attire, out-ring attire.
Yeah. Brian, somebody hadn't smartened him up, he would still be tucking his jeans into his boots.
Yeah, he would.
No.
But yes, the Yakima Sun Dome, it's actually a really great facility. It's on the Yakima County, it's on the Yakima State Fairgrounds. So it's a good area for a show. And the building, it's kind of like it's actually like a great mid-size arena because there's no, like, the sight lines in the arena. There's no bad seat in the house. So I like it a lot.
Cool. And what exactly is your position with this promotion? Are you considered a booker, a promoter, an investor? I mean, what exactly is your calling card?
No, he's not an investor.
I'm not an investor. On paper, I'm considered a producer. I'm also helping book the event along with Conan. And so we've been working together along with Richard, who's one of the partners in the promotion, on putting the show together. But I've been working a lot with Conan as far as, booking a lot of the talent and things like that. So Conan's been helping us out a lot.
Is Conan going to be making an appearance at the show, or is he just strictly background on this?
Yeah, he'll be making an appearance at the show, actually. Pretty excited about it. Him and Rey Mysterio will be coming in Tuesday to help do some local promotions, and we have a VIP set up during the afternoon. So about an hour and a half before the event, those special VIP ticket holders are going to be able to come in and get their autographs and photos and all that good jazz taken with all the stars there. So Conan will be one of those guys you could get your picture taken with, and maybe he'll give you a Bronco Buster. Wait, did Conan do the Bronco Buster? No,
he didn't.
He'll throw a shoe at you.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, you had also mentioned one of my other all-time favorite wrestlers, not in the League of the Von Erichs, of course, but Juventud Guerrero, the Juice, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And when he was in the WWE, one of my favorite things was to get the Observer every week, and you could read the exploits of Hoovy in the backstage area getting heat.
Yeah.
And like I say, I love Hoovy, but he is kind of a heat magnet. Are you prepared just for the juice in general come this show?
The juice's heat has graduated to a different type. It's almost now graduated to, instead of being heat, kind of like to that lovable friend that you're not really, you don't really like, you know? He's graduated to that. Like, I know him and Conan had heat for a long time. In fact, I think Hoovy had heat with a lot of people, but he's matured a lot. He's still crazy. He still calls himself the juice. If he leaves a voicemail on your phone, he refers to himself as the juice. So, yeah, he's a character, but he's actually, from what I understand, he's matured a lot. So the juice will be loose in Yakima.
Now, you mentioned Psychosis as his partner. Are we talking about Nietzsche, or are we talking about the second Psychosis?
Yes, we're talking about Nietzsche.
Okay.
So, you know, there was actually, we were actually, you know, when things fall apart and you have to reschedule and rebook shows, we were even talking about possibly doing like a tag match with Psychosis on one side, Psychosis and Hoovy on one side against Ray and a partner on another side, just because I'm sure, like everybody, I'm a huge fan of like Psychosis versus Ray, so I'd love to see them go at it one more time. So
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig, ask him how you booked the women's match.
Craig?
Why do I have to ask him?
Just ask the question. It might have a good answer.
Hey, Matt, what are you planning to do with the women?
What's that? you're breaking up, Craig. Was that on purpose? Or?
What are you planning to do with the women, Matt?
What am I planning to do with them?
Yeah.
That's pretty lewd, Craig. That's not what I was asking you to ask.
I plan on allowing them to wrestle.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, but
no,
are you going to just...
I'm actually really excited about the women's match. Ed was one of the fine folks that helped me get in contact with Sue. And I was like, hey, Sue, thank you for, you know, Ed gave me your email address. And she was like, Ed who? Anyways, once we got past that, we were able to work out a deal with her. And really excited because, dude, I did not even know that until we were booking her that Sue was from Washington State. So she actually grew up and went to high school in Pasco, Washington, which is a short drive from Yakima, Washington. So...
Yep.
There's a lot of opportunities that have came up as far as getting some local promotions in the Pasco Tri-Cities area, which will be great for the show. And for her opponent, Jessica Havoc, I like the dynamic of like the big, mean, tough girl against the local hometown hero returning type of angle. You know, I think they'll have a great match together. So that'll be interesting.
Is she gonna wrestle with Sue Young, or is she gonna be doing the gimmick she's been mainly doing on the indies right now? Because because if she's doing like the gimmick she's been doing, she'd kind of have to be the monster in the match.
Because she plays a kabuki like character does not mean that we're going to make it the Japanese the heel.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to promote her as, like, the hometown girl, you'd want to promote, like, normal, you know what I mean, girl.
The best
way to describe her is she's a cross between Mankind and the great Muda.
Yeah, you know, actually that's one of the things when I was talking to her about, with her to Conan, I actually used Kabuki as a point of reference. But, yeah, definitely, because the Kabuki, Muda, Mankind type of gimmick, I think that she could be a babyface doing that too if you tweak it a little bit. You know, I'm just looking forward to having a great women's match. I, you know, the thing is that I don't think the majority of the fans there live are going to be familiar with them, you know, but it's something mm-hmm. that we could put together that they could have a great match together where when they leave, they'll be really familiar with them. So
yeah, their gimmicks are very, like, you know, captivating. So those are actually two great choices because they, especially Sue, well, and Havoc too, because she does play the scary monster, but to fit into a lucha show, I mean, Sue's got, like, the perfect gimmick to kind of be in that colorful, mysterious kind of a thing. Plus, she's a great worker. I'm sure that
another
match would be awesome.
Yeah, another person that I kind of, when I was describing her to Conan, I was, remember when Akira Hokuto would go and wrestle for CMLL? She would kind of play up the Kabuki gimmick herself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a cool dynamic there. I just think because there's a lot of size difference between the two, I think that'll obviously make it an easier match, the Rudos and Technicos match to go through, you know. I think it'll work great.
Yeah, they're both great workers. I mean, Havoc, you know, she's a pro. She knows what she's doing. And like I say, she's been on fire since. At first, I wasn't happy about when she made the gimmick change because she was such a great heel, talking shit, just being a snotty little bitch kind of character. And I was they took the main thing that got her over, like her talking, but she's evolved this character so much where she's went from, like, she's not as much Mankind-ish as she used to be when it started, but now it's gotten to the point where she's just got so much personality and charisma. Not speaking, I mean, it's awesome. So I think she'll get over huge on the show.
Yeah, and we also have a couple opportunities locally to do some local promotions with her through radio and television and even a newspaper article that's going to be, you know, because she went to high school, she left and went to FCW, had some tryouts and flirtations with WWE. So I think it makes her a good story too, which is something that, you know, there's always a lot. If you could bring somebody in that could bring you some free publicity for a local, if you're a local promoter, that's something you don't want to turn down, you know. So, you know, I'm not going to lie, that had something to do with our decision, but Sue's also a great wrestler, so I think it's going to really have a good match. They're going to have a really good match.
I know, sadly, some news came out that one of the other girls you really wanted to try and use in the future, unfortunately, it's probably going to be out for a while, because I know you were kind of high on Nicole Savoy. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. she tore ACL, so I was kind of getting excited to see her. She's in just a few years, it's just, you know, become a major player in women's wrestling.
It's interesting right now. There's a lot of great women talent out here on the West Coast. I know our friend Michelle Starr up in Canada, his promotion, All Star Wrestling, they've got a subdivision promotion called Girls Gone Wrestling. And they've got a show mm-hmm. coming up like this weekend or next weekend that's just like loaded. They're even going to have Malaya Hosaka on the show. It's kind of like a spokesperson or something for them. But, dude, they've got like a stacked group of girls up there wrestling right now. So, man, there's a lot of talent out here.
Yeah, there's that big Smash show coming up, too, the U.S. versus Canada show. That's another big one. And,
mm-hmm.
And another girl from your kind of neck of the woods, and I'm sure you've been on shows with before, she's having, like, the best year of her life. Like, Casey Spinelli's been tearing it up this past year.
Yeah, she has. She's been doing really well. She was in Paraguay for a while working with the Luchando promotion. And on the undercard, we actually have a couple young up-and-coming girls. We're using some locals for a local intergender trios match. And on one side, we've got Avarex and Sonico teaming up with a female luchadoras called La Avispa. They're going to be wrestling the American Guns, Ethan HD and Mike Santiago teaming with Kate Carney. And Kate and Avispa, they're both two girls to keep an eye on. Kate's had an opportunity to, she worked for the Lucha Ando promotion down in Paraguay. She's been working some shows in Canada for ECCW and Wise Pro Wrestling. And she's been doing some work in California too. So she's starting to kind of like build a little bit of a name for herself. And La Avispa, She just got back from a short tour of Mexico where she worked with some of the smaller indie promotions out there. So they've got a lot of potential to be big stars soon.
How many matches do you have planned for the show?
Seven.
Okay.
Yeah. Seven matches. When you're booking a show, a lot of times people don't take into consideration that you need to book the entire show as a show, you know? So you've got to have a beginning, middle, and an end, all that good stuff. And I think when you present too many matches, you run the risk of, like, tiring the crowd out. It's easy to do, you know?
Absolutely.
After a few hours. Yeah. Oh, man, when Craig and I were watching SummerSlam, after eating a buttload of meat, poof.
Man,
those 4 hours, they dragged.
And we only watched 4 hours. There was 6 hours.
Yeah,
what's that? Was it?
I said we only watched 4 hours. That was a six-hour show.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember back in 2008 or 2009, you'd go to some of those ROH shows. And you're talking a good 5.5 hours. I was getting burned out sitting there watching live wrestling. Couldn't believe it.
Wait, shit. Don't you remember when they used to tape Raw for like three? They used to tape like 3 weeks worth of Raw. You'd be there like freaking 8-9 hours.
Yeah. Like when we were talking about those TV tapings I did for WWF, you know, they taped four episodes of WWF Superstars, plus they had like 3 dark matches. And the night before they did three Raws and they had like 3 dark matches. So it was like,
I think it was 4.
Man. It could have been 4.
Yeah. Now, it was rough.
Speaking of this big SummerSlam, you guys all watched SummerSlam at Brian Alvarez's house, which I'm surprised he even lets people in his house. But I've heard reports that the Criminator was very calm, not causing any trouble. So, who's lifting the gimmicks? Was it Craig? I know he likes his gimmicks.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I had not seen Brett in a long time, and he was really calm. So I don't know. Maybe somebody did slip him. Maybe he was just worn out from all the meat. Because, dude, after we ate all that food, everybody was like in a comatose.
Yeah, that usually happens.
Yeah, I was like full till like the next day.
Now on are there any plans on future shows? Because I know Conan, he's done a lot of interviews with Brian. When can we see the Headhunters versus Brian Alvarez and Vinny V on the show?
The Headhunters?
Yeah, the Headhunters.
Are they still even working?
You can bring them back for one match just so they can kill Brian.
Man, I have no idea where you'd even find them at. Are they living in the Santo Domingo?
I have no idea.
Unless they've lost a lot of weight, they probably couldn't even walk now. There are other guys I'd like to book Brian against.
Name a few.
Oh yeah, totally.
I'd like to see him and Craig wrestle one more time.
Absolutely.
There's actually, and in a match like that, there's more likelihood of Brian getting hurt than probably in any other match.
It's very true.
Yeah.
I was not very good.
Stiffer's McGee over there.
You gonna tell Craig to give him a senton?
No, I wouldn't do that.
It's funny because I actually got lighter. I actually got lighter as I quit the business. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I started working lighter after the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted it to look good, you know.
What about you, Matt? Are you retired or are you still working the occasional match? What's going on as far as your career in pro wrestling?
No, I actually haven't wrestled in about 2.5 years. I have been helping out with a couple shows. In fact, I am helping out with a show Saturday night in Seattle with the one and only Brutal Bob Evans. He's going to be in town working for a promotion called Rainier Pro Wrestling in Seattle at the Evolve Fitness Center. So I'm going to be going there. I'm going to help them work work the locker room. I've kind of been helping book guys behind the scenes for the promotion. And I've also done some color commentary recently with Jim Valley for Dr. Luther's promotion, which has got, it's got a ton of potential, man. Dr. Luther of FMW fame, he started a promotion called Breakthrough Pro Wrestling. Myself and Jim Valley, we did the commentary for it. Their last show, the main event was Ethan HD versus Jeff Cobb, and the match was just, it was awesome, dude. So that's been a lot of fun doing that too. So I want to do a little bit more of that in the future. So something to look forward to.
ECCW. I thought Brutal was working ECCW on Saturday night.
No, Bob, working ECCW. I think Bob is working ECCW tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's working up there tonight.
Backwards. Yeah, because I've been trying to hook up with him since he's been in town, and his schedule is ridiculously busy, as is mine. And I can't even.
Yeah, I helped Bob take a couple extra bookings on Sunday, so he's got a seminar in Seattle Sunday morning,
right.
And then he's got a match and a seminar Sunday evening in Portland. But Saturday night, the 8th, which is tomorrow, right? Yes, tomorrow. He's going to be at the Evolve Fitness Center for RPW. I think actually tonight was it? I think it was
3-2-1.
I think tonight he's in Bremerton or someplace. Yeah. I think he's either in Bremerton tonight or he's in ECCW.
I thought he was at
3-2-1 in Vancouver. No, he's not.
Okay.
No, that show's taking place, but Bob's not actually at that show. So
I gotcha.
You know, go to anybody out there curious, go to Bob's Twitter or his Facebook and check it out. Yeah, there you go.
Just don't look at the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. But also, you should come out tomorrow night, Craig.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah, because he sent me a... probably not. I'm busy, dude.
Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Okay. What am I doing?
What?
Well, I'm working most of the day tomorrow.
That's not what you're doing in the evening.
Well, yeah. I don't know, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, you were
that's
just talking about
definitely.
How you want to hang out with Brutal Bob Evans and you got your chance. Now you're like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, dude, what Matt is telling me and the list of things that he sent me are completely different. So I got to figure out where he's at. Because Bob
he's
said,
in Seattle tomorrow.
It says right here, 10-8, which is tomorrow. He says ECCW in seminar, and then on Sunday he's doing a seminar in Seattle for 3-2-1 battle. Unless he's going up to ECCW in Vancouver for the seminar and then coming back down to Seattle Saturday night. Is that possible?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk later.
Yeah, he's in at Rainier Pro tonight. I know that for sure. I mean, tomorrow night, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, he'll be there.
I have not heard of Rainier Pro.
Yeah.
Where is this?
It's a new promotion. They're having their first event, so. Yeah, it should be good.
Okay.
They're having
NCL.
Their first event, and they're bringing in Brutal Bob Evans. That's not, he's going to
well,
scare all the
he
fans
was here.
Away.
He was here.
Well,
it was
one
easy.
Of the reasons one of the reasons why they're bringing Brutal Bob in is because they're actually a promotion that's morphing away from 3-2-1 Battle, which is a Seattle promotion. And what it is pretty much the guys that started 3-2-1. They're breaking. One of them's breaking free. Started his own promotion, and
gotcha.
They're kind of changing up the format a little bit. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay, that makes
so
more
that's
sense.
What they're doing.
Okay.
Man, I wanted to ask you. I'm going to totally change the subject here because I wanted to ask you about. Not too long ago, you got involved in a Twitter flame war, and you were totally destroyed by Rovert. You want to talk about that whole situation?
I was what?
You were totally destroyed, owned by Rovert on Twitter.
What was this? There was never a time that I was owned by him.
I'm just messing with you. I enjoyed that battle you guys had. I don't even remember what it was about. I just remember he took great offense to, I don't know, your defense of something, whatever, but it led to some highly entertaining Twitter tweets and stuff.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There are certain guys like Rovert, and I know that I have mutual friends with the guy, and there's other tweeters out there that, I mean, fuck, dude. Read their Twitter feeds. It's a constant, like, they're constantly calling people out, constantly, like, fucking with people. They're trolls. I mean, they're educated, but they know what they're talking about, but at the end of the day, they're still trolls. You know, and their main purpose of being on Twitter is getting over with themselves or their buddies and trying to, you know, I don't want to talk bad about them, which I guess I have already, but, yeah, I don't know, dude. Fuck.
I just like how his big insult in the end to you was to call you a wrestling historian and not a reporter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he called me a wrestling historian, so, which is, I mean, I guess you could call me that because I do read a lot about history, but I've also been following the sport current stuff for years, and so, I don't know. I could care less. You know, it's just pro wrestling. So,
right.
Now, do you? Yeah. Do you speak your mind? I mean, you're not shy. You do speak your mind, and you're not afraid to engage people on social media. Have you been like? And someone that's even gotten it worse than you, and I think he does it because he highly enjoys it now, is like Dave Meltzer's kind of become a Twitter troll himself. And maybe an anti-Twitter troll is the word to use, because Dave just loves to seem to get into battles, and he's every day is a different thing. Like right now, the big thing is did Ric Flair have sex with Halle Berry or not?
Well, you know, here I think what happened with Dave is, I think he just got fed up with getting called out all the time, because, you know, there's certain trolls that we talked about that just love to nitpick and poke. And I mean, dude, the guy's made his living reporting on wrestling for 30 plus years. You know, there should be some level of respect for that. Whether you agree with his reporting or the number of stars that he puts on a match, I could care less. I don't agree with all the stars that Dave gives certain matches. I don't even like a lot of the same things Dave likes, but I respect the guy. I like Dave, you know, and if I had an issue with something that he wrote or reported, instead of going on Twitter and trying to get myself over by pointing something out, I would have just shot him an email or called him, you know. That would have been that. We could have graciously had a conversation and, educated conversation about something. So, I mean, I don't know. There's just folks out there that whatever level their trollism is, they're still trolls at the end of the day. So,
yeah.
I almost think it's like, you know, I'm going to call out Dave Meltzer. I'm going to put him in his place, and that somehow makes me bigger and better and more popular. It's so ridiculous. If I can get something over on Dave, then
Here's what does bug me about it too, is you have guys that are fans. There might be educated fans. They watch all the product that they watch. And I'm not going to say that fans can't judge wrestling, because they can. They could say, hey, this is good or that's bad. That's their opinion. But the thing is that until you've worked inside of the industry, whether it's as a reporter or you're in it day to day, I mean, think about how many times Dave talks to people in high levels in the industry. It's a day, you know,
right.
He does every day. So he puts a lot of time, effort, and energy into this business, as well as a lot of other people. But there are people that are just fans that they only see one side of it. They only see it from the entertainment side of it, if they're being entertained or not. they don't always understand why something happened or how it happened or you know, so because of what they feel is on the entertainment side of it, they don't necessarily look at it from a business side of it. So
they also don't understand how it works. Like,
yeah,
okay, maybe Dave is sitting on a scoop that maybe you have an idea about, and you're
right.
going to jump on Dave, well, you should report it or this or that. There's like, if Dave was to do stuff like that, he wouldn't have contacts. He wouldn't have people he
yeah.
can get stories from. You have to, it's like any reporter in sports or in government or just any reporter in general. There are basic rules you have to stick with, and if you break from those rules, then you're going to be left out in the cold. So it's like, yes, there
yeah.
are times when he's going to toll a line because he doesn't want to lose future stories in the past. It's like, and people for some reason think, oh, you should not be like that. It's like, no, if you're like that, you might be a reporter for a month, you know, and then
yeah.
you won't have anything to talk about or, you know,
well,
report.
Here's another example, and Craig knows this, but inside wrestling, the people that are involved with wrestling, there's some seriously, at least in a former generation, and there still is to a certain extent, there's some crazy, freaking, unscrupulous people in this business.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
right, Craig?
Oh,
and
yeah.
the stories that you hear, the stories that people tell, the gossip, is so crazy. Just think about the amount of stories that Dave hears on a weekly basis, because he's talking to everybody, at least within his circle of people that he communicates with. They communicate and talk about everything in wrestling, including guys getting cheated on, girlfriends stabbing their boyfriends, people taking off time because they're cokeheads and they're going to rehab instead of for a neck surgery, or, you know, they're, you know, this guy cheated on that guy, and this wrestler is sleeping with this wrestler's wife or girlfriend, or this wrestler won't work on a show that another wrestler will work on because they just don't like the guy. And you know, there's a million stories like that. And so Dave will go through those stories and cut them out and then report on what else is going on. As long as they're not affecting what's going on in front of the camera, Dave tries to shy away from a lot of those more tabloid type incidents. And so when you see people scooping stories, a lot of times it's because he's holding back on those stories because of relationships that he has with his sources. And also,
absolutely.
He's never wanted to be that kind of reporter. One of my favorite issues of Dave's Observer is like one from 1991 where he's talking about issues with wrestlers failing drug tests and things like that. And he was talking about how, well, if it affects their bookings, I report on it, but their personal lives, I try not to report on it. You know, that takes a lot of strength to hold back on some of those stories, because he could be just a tabloid reporter. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the things I've always appreciated about Dave, is that he's never lowered himself to be in that tabloid reporter, because the story, believe me, the stories in wrestling behind the scenes are so crazy that you could probably make a lot of money reporting on those things, you know. But you're not doing anybody any favors doing so.
Yeah.
Not to mention, he's got relationships with these guys, and to just report something because he knows it would be detrimental to him ever getting another story. It would be detrimental to him ever getting any inside information, and people criticize him about sitting on things. But if somebody says, hey, keep this under your hat, Dave does.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that, Matt. That's,
okay.
That's just, we're,
yeah.
we're about to lose our live feed, but we can go a few more minutes. So there are
okay.
a few more things we wanted to hit on.
Yeah, there was actually an incident recently where I was talking to Dave about a really – it was actually a pretty big breaking news story that I had some inside news on. And to protect my source along with their source, I had to tell – I told Dave about it because we were talking, because he knew a lot about it, and he came to me and was asking me about it. But it's something that I couldn't let my name be attached to it. I couldn't let my friend's name be attached to it. I couldn't allow his source, name to be attached to it. And Dave sat on that, and I shared it with Dave because we were talking about that because we were part of the same story. And, that's just things that Dave does. But when you're sitting behind Twitter, behind a handle that's not you, it's easy to send out a tweet in 140 characters throwing out this news source, So it's a different world for Dave than it is for these other Twitter reporters.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, we are, like I say, we are past our live feed now, but we do want to hit a few more things. Craig, go ahead and ask any questions you wanted to get to that we didn't have for you.
Oh, goodness. How about
Craig?
Craig is always prepared. Craig is always prepared.
I talk to Matt all the time. Come on now.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? You grew up watching big time wrestling out of Portland, and
yes.
You were kind of a historian to the area. What guy in our region of the world should have been bigger?
Should have been bigger. Art Barr is one of
them.
Buddy Rose is another guy. Those are the two guys that jump out at me. Art Barr, if he wouldn't have passed away so early, I think he was on the cusp of being an international star. I think he had actually more potential early in his career than Eddie Guerrero had.
Wow.
I'm not saying he would have a bigger career than Eddie Guerrero, but I think as far as potential, he had more of it because he understood charisma a little better early in his career.
Eddie hadn't opened up for him. Eddie was just a workhorse where Art was the mouth.
Yeah, and if you look at a lot of things that Eddie did that he developed into, Art had those things back in 1994. So I think Art would have been one of those stars. I think he would have been great during the Monday Night Wars era. I could have just imagined what a Shawn Michaels Art Barr feud would have been like. That would have been tremendous. And Buddy Rose, of course, everybody knows that. Buddy's one of the best in-ring performers ever. Natural athlete. If he would have taken better care of himself, he probably could have been a bigger star.
Buddy's always a big guy. He's always a big guy who could work. Another guy kind of very similar to him, Adrian Adonis. Who would you consider the better of the two?
It's hard to say who I think is better. I liked Buddy Rose better myself just because it's somebody I grew up on. I will say this, when Adrian Adonis came into the Portland territory, none of the top guys wanted to work with him until Buddy had a conversation with him and then told him to, hey, if you want to work with top guys, you have to change these things about how you work. And Adrian made those changes and started working with a lot of the top guys. So, I don't know. I they're kind of on par to me. It's hard to say, they were both awesome. I think Buddy's line for the business was like, he was a top 10% as far as understanding the business. So he was the guy, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, those guys are like the WWE, they don't, want fat guys. They want people to look a certain way. But it's like, you look at those two guys are better workers than just about everybody. It's maybe a few people in the WWE right now.
Yeah.
And doing it, basically out of they looked out of shape, but they could go for a long time in the ring. It was amazing. And one guy I want to ask about who worked that area for a while. Bobby Jaggers. Did you know Bobby Jaggers, or did you have an opinion on Bobby Jaggers?
I did. I met Bobby Jaggers a few times. I talked to him maybe twice, but I was part of a conversation. It wasn't like a one-on-one conversation.
Well,
I like Bobby.
I bring him up because it's like I'm very sad that he's no longer with us, because he's one of these guys who would be perfect to do the podcast circuit, because
mm-hmm.
you talk about a guy who can tell tall tales.
Yeah.
That guy was amazing. I mean, I think he was better at it than actually wrestling. And I saw a lot of Bobby here in San Antonio and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think Brian's buried him a few times on the on him and Vinny's show.
Yes,
with
he has.
The old NWA, but I always enjoyed him. I mean, I thought he was pretty good and stuff. And I know, like I said, I knew he worked your area for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, when he was in Portland, it was like the worst period for Portland wrestling, you know? So it's hard to say. Like, I like Bobby. My favorite Bobby Jaggers was when he worked in Puerto Rico. Him and Dan Crawford, Phil LaFon, when they were a tag team, they were fucking awesome. I like Bobby Jaggers. He was one of those guys that a lot of people in the business weren't fans of because he would bullshit people so much, you know? You know, that was even his nickname. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, he's not with us, so I shouldn't disparage him, I guess. But, you know, yeah, I did like his work, though. I thought he was good.
Yeah, like, if you can find, like, interviews with Bobby Jaggers, I would suggest people listen to him because your mind will be blown. Some of the stories that he tells. Another guy who worked a lot of Texas.
In fact, let me insert a story real quick. Bobby Jaggers, Larry Matisick, you know, promoter of St. Louis for a long time. Him and Bobby Jaggers were friends, and Bobby Jaggers was telling him a story about wrestling Bruiser Brody, and Bobby Jaggers just did not believe the story. He was like, "There's no way this is true." So he actually called me one time. Larry was like, "So Matt, did Bobby Jaggers actually wrestle Bruiser Brody in Idaho?" And I was like, "Well, as a matter of fact, they did." And Larry was like, "You know what, Matt? I'm just so used to Bobby lying to me, I just assumed it was a lie." So, yeah, that was an interesting story. So,
yeah. Another guy who worked a lot of Texas and Portland, Al Madero. Did you know Al?
Not personally, no. I actually met him a couple times, but I don't know. I just, he was one of those guys where he looked like he wouldn't be a fun guy to be friends with. So who knows? I don't know.
You never went to one of his Coke parties with Buddy Wayne?
No, I never did. I would have if I would have known they were doing them, but I was young then, you know. Okay. I'm much younger than you guys, so I didn't see it.
I was never a fan of
Al Madero, actually, when he was in Portland. So.
Oh, okay. Well, Craig, anything else before we let Matt plug his stuff?
He had coke parties with Buddy Wayne.
Yeah, Buddy Wayne talks about doing lines off the back of rats while he's having sex with them. Allegedly, I guess.
Well, yeah, who hasn't done that?
Kayfabe.
All the boys do that.
Kayfabe.
Yeah. All the boys do that.
Oh.
You know what's crazy?
Matt,
if
stop
Craig's
it.
Got a big back, you could put a lot of lines on Craig's back.
There's 3 kilos on that thing. Oh my god.
Yeah. You could come up looking like Scarface on his back.
Yeah. Matt, plug your stupid show next week. Good grief.
Okay, my stupid show. October 12th, Yakima Sundome. Tickets are available at LuchaElimitado.com or check me out on Twitter at MattFarmer93. I'll have ticket information available on there. Also, we've got the old Facebook page. If you're in the Northwest, go to the show. It's going to be awesome, you know. Yeah. Even if you can't afford the VIP tickets, there's a lot of reasonably priced tickets in there. You know, you're going to see Sami Callihan, dude. Jeff Cobb. When's Sami Callihan been to the Northwest?
Never.
So I was talking to MVP. He's super excited to wrestle Sami Callihan. I think they're going to put on a great match. So, those are some matches people. I mean, you're going to see Jeff Cobb and Phoenix in a match together. So, that's going to be awesome.
And your radio
go
show.
Go ahead and plug your yeah. Let's say
that. What's that?
Go ahead and plug your radio show.
Your radio show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got a couple shows over at MLW Radio. I do a weekly podcast called Indie Riffic, where we interview the somebody from the local independent scene. We also discussed the local independent, or not local independent scene, national, international independent scene. I also do a podcast with Court Bauer himself where it's called History in the Making, and we take a topic and we analyze the topic and discuss it and talk about the history of a topic. This week we are talking about Memphis wrestling. That will drop. That dropped yesterday, actually. So listen to part one of our History in the Making Memphis over there at MLW Radio.
Cool. And Court's a good dude. I've had to deal with Court at some of the WrestleMania get-togethers, setting stuff up for him and Jim Ross and stuff. So.
Yeah. We've actually got a Jim Ross show coming up this year for WrestleMania weekend, as well as the Wally Mania deal. So that should
be fun. Speaking of which, tell him he needs to save me a ticket, because I know the last year it sold out really quick. I think they're going to do a bigger setup this year, but make sure you tell Court to save me VIP.
And it's crazy. Since we're talking about Florida real quick, I want to give a shout-out to everybody in Florida right now. I hope everybody's safe.
No doubt.
Dude, my niece, she goes to Flagler University, which is up there in St. Augustine, Florida, which is one of the hardest-hit areas in Florida. She just texted me a picture of the street outside, and there's about 4 feet of water.
Wow.
In the streets right now. Her car, the water was up to the hood of the car. So,
Jeez. Yeah,
it's pretty crazy out there. I hope everybody's safe.
Yeah, some parts of it got hit pretty bad. I have, friends in Orlando, and there was supposed to be a curfew till 7 in the morning, but they actually lifted it this afternoon. So Orlando didn't get the worst of it, but there are parts of Orlando. And I also have a friend in Charleston who had to go to North Carolina because she was afraid there was no way that her house was going to be unscathed. So she got out of there for the weekend. So
Where my niece is at in St. Augustine, they're literally, the college that she's at, they're literally about 2 blocks from the beach. And they got hit super hard because it was like right where the hurricane hit. And, it's sad because I know she's going to end up losing some stuff in her house. So,
that sucks.
Yeah. As great as the name is, it's a bad hurricane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, everybody come out October 12th, Yakima Valley Sun Dome. I'm going to be there. I know Buddy Wayne's going to be there. Conan, Rey Mysterio, everybody's going to be there. So come out, get photos, get your autographs, get your masks, all that good stuff. And I'll see everybody Saturday in Seattle for Rainier Pro Wrestling.
I know Conan's not in the best of health of these days, after all the years, but any consideration getting him in the ring with Buddy? If there's anybody who's going to be easy to work with, it'd be Buddy.
Conan's actually talked about maybe doing a farewell tour in Mexico. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. I don't know what his health is. I know that he's pretty active and stuff, so... And he's also working hand-in-hand with a Crash promotion out of Tijuana. So they've been doing really good business the last few months. So it's good to see him get active in the business. He's a really helpful guy. He's got a lot to offer the wrestling industry. So he's actually a guy that WWE, they should put him on payroll because the way he understands the Latino market and with the Latino market so huge around the world, they need a guy like him to – bounce ideas off of, I think he could really be a credit to people in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, that's the one thing. WWE is so high on the Mexican market, but they have absolutely no clue how to deal with it. So, that'd be a good fit. So,
he's the guy like Rey Mysterio has brought to the game, what he brought to WWE in terms of just revenue. And even hiring a guy like Conan to instruct the next wave of Rey Mysterios would be highly resourceful because, man, you get a Rey Mysterio over and you make a ton of money because I'll tell you what, Rey Mysterio sold millions and millions of masks every year. So it's crazy.
So, Matt, you've been on for like over an hour, and we really appreciate the time, and best of luck with the show.
Thank you.
I'm sure it'll be a good success. And I gave you a couple other names and contact information, and I hope you plan on contacting them in the future. They will do a really good job for you. And
thank you, Ed. I appreciate it.
If you need anything, let me know.
Yeah, for sure. You're not as bad as Craig tells me you are.
How dare you?
Well, Craig's friends with Brian, so I mean that says everything right there.
Yeah. There you go.
But you have a good night, brother, and thank you so much
for coming.
Thank
you, guys. See you, Craigie Wiggy.
See you, Matt. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Yep.
All right, Craig. Well, I'll talk to you next week. We'll go ahead and end the show, and we'll be back next week, and hopefully Contreras will be able to join us next time.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Mexican shit. Let's go hook him up.
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.